We'll use this call to provide you with information about today's sustainability announcements around water and nutrient efficiency, and discuss what it means for supporting family farmers in the face of a growing planet and a changing climate. Following some brief remarks from both Hugh and Len, I'll then open the call for your questions. Just a reminder, we are recording today's audio conference, and we'll post a copy of the recording on Monsanto's website at www.monsanto.com so that you can access the replay. So with that, I'd like to turn the call over to Mr. Hugh Grant.
Thanks, Billy, and good afternoon to everybody on the line. Thanks for joining us today. I'm really pleased to be here to profile two important commitments that we're making to support sustainability in the field and in our own operations. As you know, our only business is agriculture and the success of our farmer customers. We recognize that we play an important role at the start of the food chain, and we're committed to partnering with our farmer customers who raise the crops that sustain all of us. To do this requires innovative products and services to help growers, regardless of their size, to do more on their existing footprint while minimizing impact to the environment. This isn't simply an altruistic vision. It's good for business. It's good for the environment and the natural resources that we all share. And it's good for society at large. In short, I think it helps ensure that we all have a safe, affordable, and sustainable food supply for our planet and its people today and tomorrow. I think experts around the world agree there will be increased demand on ag products driven by a growing population and more protein-rich diets of an increasing global middle class. All this in the face of changing weather patterns, urbanization, and other global forces, all of which ask for more from the world's farmers, our customers. There's literally an explosion of innovation occurring in ag today, combining the best of biological, data, and IT sciences into brand new tools, technologies, and approaches for farmers. And this expansion of new innovation will help growers produce more with less. We've already seen this happen in the last 30 years. If you look at just one crop, corn, we've seen yields grow by more than 60% over the last 30 years, while simultaneously we've also seen reductions in land use, down by 30%, soil loss, down by 67%, and use of irrigated water, down by 53%, as well as a reduction in greenhouse gases by 36%. So really great progress in the past, but we know that there's more to be done. And that's why today I'm very proud to announce new commitments that will continue to preserve and optimize nutrient efficiency and water, two vital resources for the success of agriculture and for our planet. So let me begin with nutrient efficiency. Today, here at Walmart in Bentonville, our first commitment is in the area of nutrient efficiency. And for our part, we're pledging to work with our customers, stakeholders, industry groups, and farmers to help accelerate such efficiencies. In line with this, we're pledging to partner with our grower customers to improve the efficiency of nutrient use on farm on 1 million acres of cropland here in the United States. We believe with the role of new advanced farming approaches across plant breeding, biotechnology, and data sciences that are accessible now and expected to expand in the coming years, this figure could grow threefold in the next 5 to 10 years. Soil and nutrients are vitally important to farming, and we're pleased to make this initial commitment. This effort will also complement our other joint projects in soil health and water quality, including our partnership with the National Corn Growers Association and the Walton Family Foundation. Cover crop trials with agronomic organizations and a multi-year commitment to a USDA program on sustainable farming systems. The second commitment that we made today is in the area of water. I think everybody understands its importance for life. For my business and my industry, it presents a dual challenge. Water is both the single largest limiting factor for crop productivity, and agriculture, in turn, is the largest consumer of freshwater withdrawals for irrigation, utilizing as much as 70% globally. If you think about the cotton shirt that many of us are wearing today, it required about 700 gallons, or 2,500 liters of water, to produce. The chicken meal for dinner tonight requires roughly 500 gallons, or nearly 2,000 liters. And the cup of coffee that you took to start the day took an estimated 35 gallons, or 135 liters of water, to produce. And these numbers grow as you roll them up. In our seed production around the world, we've estimated that we use between 100 and 250 billion gallons, or almost 400 billion to a trillion liters of water for irrigation purposes. To put that into perspective, an Olympic swimming pool holds 660,000 gallons, so we pump somewhere between 150,000 and 400,000 Olympic swimming pools over our irrigated crops annually. These are improvements that we can make. There's improvements that we can make here to improve the efficient use of this precious resource. And what's important is that improvements at scale will aggregate quickly to be more than just a drop in the bucket. So today, Monsanto's pledging to begin work to reduce our global water footprint at our company. We'll do this by improving our water irrigation efficiency by 25% and our global seed production operations by 2020. Depending on weather, this could potentially be a savings of 30 to 80 billion gallons of water, enough water to supply the people of Washington, D.C. for 2 to 4 years, or a savings of 45,000 to 110,000 Olympic pools of water. We'll do this by pursuing smarter, more efficient approaches to irrigation and leveraging our latest technologies and systems across our company to achieve this goal. These two commitments are important elements to advancing and supporting sustainable agriculture on our planet. There's much to be done, but I'm optimistic about the future, and I'm optimistic about agriculture's opportunity to contribute to solving some of the world's most pressing challenges in a way that preserves and protects our future for our children and for our grandchildren. We'll recognize and we'll cherish the partnership that we have with our farmer customers. They are the world's forefront stewards of our land and our natural resources, and they play a pivotal role in helping to meet the demands of our planet day in and day out. So with that, let me turn the call to Len, and Len's going to offer an important farmer perspective to this call. Len?
Thank you, Hugh, and good afternoon, everybody. I'm really pleased to be here. This is a great opportunity for a farmer to be present as we talk about sustainability that's really, really important to us, the things that we're doing on the farm. And as we have these discussions, farmers need to be represented so that everyone has a better understanding of what farmers are actually doing on the farm and some of the new initiatives using new technologies, what we're able to do. I will say it was a little tough to be here. It's planting season in central Illinois where our farm is, but we did finish planting corn a couple days ago, so my son Craig said that, well, Dad, you can go ahead and go and take part in this. So I am really especially happy to be here. One of the things that Craig and I talk about that I learned from my dad and granddad was a personal initiative we have that to leave the farm better than I found it. And, you know, that really is what sustainability is all about as we work on productivity to take care of the soil, and we are able to do that better than we ever have before because technology, and the technology we have today, is awesome. It's been a tremendous help to us as we continue to become more efficient, which means we're able to increase our productivity while lowering our environmental footprint. You know, we're also, at the same time, producing a higher quality product. And with the technologies we have, we're even better able to identify preserve crops for specific markets and continue to drive that quality higher for our customers at the end of the day. We utilize global positioning today to collect data from harvest, fertility needs, application of fertility, planning, soil analysis. We're working with folks on building prescriptions for our fields, which really leads to utilization of fertility. Some places we may increase some of our fertilizer applications, but other places we will reduce them. And that all leads to the efficiency. I don't think I've mentioned it, but this drone technology, I know we're not supposed to call them drones, but that's what I remember, is really going to be great for us in the future. It's really difficult to go out and scout and see what our cornfields need once it gets above shoulder high. And now we can go clear across that 40-acre field and get a look at it and be more site-specific as we work on those prescriptions and see what those plants are going to need from a fertility aspect. And if it needs some more nitrogen, we can put it on. If it doesn't, then we don't. And so I'm really excited about what we have going forward. Our equipment that we use on the ground is far different and better than it was when I started farming. We've changed the way we do our tillage. We've changed our planting. We've changed our harvesting systems. All of these things have driven down the amount of diesel fuel that we use. The engines that we have in our equipment are improved dramatically as we do that. Today we work the ground in our operation generally one time, and then we plant it. And we do that collectively. We use less than 1 gallon of diesel fuel per acre. That's just unbelievable. If my dad could see that today, he would just be shaking his head. It's just hard to believe we're that efficient. The other thing that is really dramatic is the seed technology that we have to work with. We utilize biotechnology in concert with new genetics to better utilize fertility and improve quality. We've reduced all of our inputs as we've increased productivity. I've got to talk about the roots for a moment, and if you think about roots and stalks like being a straw to help the nutrients and water get from the soil up into the plant and into the grain of corn or soybeans, corn we're talking about today. So with the traits that we have and the genetics we have, the roots and stalks continue to get better, and we're protecting the genetic potential of that. So as we protect that, think of those roots and stalks better. They stay viable, so that straw is bigger, and that makes everything work better as far as utilization of the nutrient. As we make changes on the farm and we learn and are able to collect data, we're learning we need to make sure we have a balanced approach. For example, only reducing one input does not get us where we need to go. And I'll talk more about that tomorrow. We're going to have a workshop to show what happens if you try to get in reducing one nutrient. You get things out of balance, and it really just doesn't work at the end of the day, and it's counterproductive. Growing crops and improving sustainability really are like a symphony, and each section complementing the others as we look forward. So one of the things that's important as we look at all of this and the whole array of what we're working with on the farm and the partnerships that we have, the partnerships with between the Environmental Defense Fund, the World Wildlife Federation, the Nature Conservancy, National and Illinois Corn Growers, Monsanto, the Walton Foundation, all of these things are going to help get us there quicker. And then we're not all operating trying to do good things for the environment and productivity, operating in silos. We're able to do it collectively and talk to each other, which is going to help us a lot. Efforts like we've got the Soil Health Partnership that I'm involved with, Field to Market, Keep It on the Crop, we best management practices in the various states, and working with the customers like Walmart really are exciting opportunities that point to a bright future for agriculture, our country, and society as a whole, I believe. One of the things that we have to take a look at as we look at sustainability and attempts to make it better and continue to improve, that we note that we should not attempt to take any of these tools in the toolbox that we have today that have helped us improve on the farm. All of these tools, including GMOs, are important part of that sustainability as we work to meet the needs of society for the future. Now, I am excited about the future and the technologies we have, and I'm excited to be here and appreciate the opportunity. And with that, I'll turn it back to Billy.
Thank you, Len, and thank you, Hugh. Really appreciate that. At this time, I think it's okay if we can open up the line for questions. I think we've got probably about 13 or 14 minutes for questions.
Thank you. We will now be conducting a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue. You may press star 2 if you would like to remove your question from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys. And one moment, please, while we poll for questions.
While we wait for some of the questions to come in, maybe I take a moment to remind everybody that in addition to the commitments that were made today, we have details pertaining to Monsanto's water conservation efforts that can be found in Monsanto's latest sustainability progress update, which you can access at sustainability.monsanto.com. That was also released just today.
Thank you. Our first question comes from the line of Tiffany Stecker with Climate Wire. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I was wondering if you had an estimate for the greenhouse gas emissions avoided through your nutrient efficiency plan, and if I can ask a second question, it would be how big of an, a difference or an effort are these initiatives based on your business-as-usual practices of just running an efficient company?
Thanks for the two questions. Well, I saw some numbers today from the Walmart presentations. They think that with the commitments that were made today on about 8 million acres, they're looking at somewhere in the region of an incremental offset of about 6 million tons of greenhouse gases. So it's a pretty significant step today. And then your second question on how much of this is a deviation from business as usual. I think this becomes business as usual. And I think to Len's point, he's involved in a multi-generational business. His commitment is making this better than he, passing it on in better condition than he got it. I think there's a lot of similarities with business as well. So our commitment today on 1 million acres, I think it's a good beginning, but my hope in this is that as the years pass, we look back and this is as the beginning rather than the end. I think this is a good start for us.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Jan Lee with TripleAbundant.com. Please proceed with your question.
Thank you. Can you speak a little bit about how the work of Climate Corporation will play into this, these new steps?
Yeah, thanks for the question. I anticipate that in the future this is going to become really important for the Climate Corporation. They are working on some early products today that look at more efficient use of nutrients. Len, maybe say a word in a minute about split applications, but I think in the future, growers are going to be farming less at field level and more square yard by square yard, and putting more fertilizer in the areas that really are hungry and will show a response, and using a lot less in areas that have less productive soils is going to increasingly be the name of the game. But Len, maybe you can say a few words on how you're already splitting fertilizer use.
I can. Thank you, Hugh, and glad to talk a bit about that. A couple things we're doing already. We have learned to do split applications of nitrogen, for example. We put nitrogen on four different times a year, two different applications in the fall or early spring, and then at planting time, and then we do an application later when we see how the crop is doing. And that kind of site-specific and placement of nutrients when it needs it, where the plant needs it, is really helping us. We're doing some of that now, but actually my son and I were looking at Climate Corp yesterday, and what it's going to do is really help us with that. I do see, like I mentioned, the drone technology and the infrared cameras really playing into that as we get a little further down the road, but that's not quite here yet, and Climate Corp really actually is. They've got on what we've got on our computer in the office, and then we can also put on our iPads and iPhones that we carry to the field with us, it's going to help tell us what the plants need and when based on what the weather and the climate has been. And so it is really helpful. It's also going to help us outside of nutrients in if we need any late season, if we have any diseases that need a fungicide or anything to help protect the plant there as well. But really see it as continued or the next step, if you will, on our site-specific utilization of fertilizers.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue. You can press star 2 if you'd like to remove your question from the queue. And for participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys. Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Lynn Henderson with Agri Magazine. Please proceed with your question.
Yes, thank you for taking my call, and I'd like to congratulate Monsanto and its partners on these critically important initiatives. My question for Mr. Grant is on having the water reduction used by your seed, your contract seed growers, what types of plans do you have to assist them in making any operational changes, for example, to drip irrigation or other technologies that you'll be looking for in the future?
No, thanks very much for the question and the kind and the kind words as well. So, as I'm sure you're aware, we have long relationships with these growers who we contract seed production with. Sometimes multi-generational, where we're with fathers and daughters and fathers and sons. So we get a long-lasting relationship with them, and it's frankly it's going to take that to work through some of these increased efficiency approaches. A lot of it is more accurate use of irrigation equipment. You mentioned drip irrigation, and in some parts of the world that will certainly apply. But Maggie, maybe some specific details on the work that you've been doing in the run up to today's announcement.
Okay, thank you, Hugh. Thank you, Lynn. So for the last 6 months, we've had a pilot in Brazil where we've moved from precisely applying the water using a pivot with the information on soil and plant stage growth and weather conditions so that we're applying the water more accurately when it's needed and where it's needed, similar to the data science that Lynn spoke to.
And I think we're one of the earlier callers as well. I think in the future, with the work that we're doing with the Climate Corporation, I think the more we learn about those individual fields and the specific needs of plants within that field, the more accurate irrigation will become. So there's tremendous opportunity ahead in this area.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Shula Newman with St. Louis Public Radio. Please proceed with your question.
Hi. I have sort of two questions. One, you mentioned the use of cover crops, and I was wondering if you could elaborate on that more as part of the nutrient preservation. And then I'm also wondering, in the press release I received, you talked about continuing to innovate and advance smarter seeds, and I'm wondering if that will also include the ability for farmers to keep and reuse their seeds as part of a sustainability effort.
No, thanks for the two questions. The first one on cover crops, in some ways it's back to the future, because for many, many years, growers used cover crops as a green manure or something that would put nitrogen back into the soil. And they've also used cover crops for minimizing erosion and keeping that soil profile together so that it doesn't wash away. So we've been doing some additional work and studying cover crops. And Michael, maybe a quick word on what we're doing there.
We know that farmers are increasingly interested in cover crops, but it introduces management complexity. They have questions about how to introduce them successfully in their operation. So we've partnered with the National Corn Growers Association to sponsor a series of demonstration farms where farmers are starting to use cover crops in their operation and get data from that and share it with other farmers. And we've also sponsored some academic research to answer some of these questions. Ultimately, farmers we know want to adopt practices like these that will improve profitability and environmental stewardship, but they have questions that need answers today, and that's what we're committed to help them with.
And then the reference to smarter seeds was really focused on two areas. One is better breeding. So if you think about improving productivity, it's getting clean, fresh seed and making sure that it has the maximum yield potential on any given acre, and then continuing to drive for some of these improved biotech traits and looking at areas in the future like drought tolerance where these crops are sipping instead of gulping water. So I think as you look out over the next 5 to 10 years, it's better soil management, it's better agronomics, it's getting much more sophisticated and intimate and looking after that crop literally yard by yard, and continuing to deliver better performance seeds to growers. That's really been the main focus.
Thank you. Our next question comes from line of Jacob Bunge with Dow Jones. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, guys. Good afternoon.
Hey.
Thanks
Good
for
afternoon.
Making the question here. I'm sorry if I missed it, but I was curious, you know, with regard, Hugh, in particular, to your effort to reduce water consumption and seed production and the targeted 25% increase in efficiency for the irrigation systems. Can you translate that into any kind of cost savings for the company? I mean, bearing in mind, I guess, that you're going to continue to invest in these systems.
Yeah, no, Jacob, thanks for the question. We never put a number on it. Let me try and scale this for you. Our seed production in the U.S. would be northwards of a million and a half acres. So it's a big footprint. The lion's share of that is irrigated. It was some of the earliest investment that we made when we started the company a little over a decade ago, because irrigation ensures consistency of quality. We've been working with these growers for many, many years. So there is a cost. There definitely is a cost opportunity for us and for our contract partners. And when you look at the volumes, frankly, we're surprised when we started penciling out the volumes that are involved in irrigation. So if you're using a trillion liters of water in any given year and you can improve efficiency by 25%, that is going to fall at the bottom line eventually. There's maybe a little bit of capital at the start as we move to more efficient systems, but there's a long-term sustainable benefit in this. And I think the way to do it, Jacob, is as we leverage this and we start to measure the improvements in efficiency, I'd be a lot more comfortable at that time converting it into dollars and cents. But I'd rather get on and get the project started, and then we'll see what the costs look like after that.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Well, I think that's all the time we have for now. I would just like to thank everybody for joining us and also let everybody know that we look forward to updating you on the progress of these sustainability commitments as we move forward. So once again, we recorded today's audio conference, and we will post a copy of the recording on Monsanto's website at monsanto.com so that you can access the replay.